this place was all, oh, I've got a bit of country tucked back in the hills up here that we ran weathers on. We've got a little two-stand wool shed just around the corner down here, and we used to have a four-stander on Nottingham. And prior to that, we used to walk
30 there. Years ago, John Parker was producing superfine wool out here amongst the rolling hills of Wee Jasper on the southern tablelands of New South Wales. He also got some Kashmir goats to try to control a blackberry problem. It wasn't long, though, before wild dogs developed a taste for those animals.
It was like I'd imagine fighting a war when we were under attack. It became a pretty heart-rending situation. The dogs were killing our wieners for entertainment, not to eat, but the dogger here scunned some kids that had been freshly killed, and they'd just been bitten on the neck just to smother them, and then the dogs would go off and kill another. And in a period of 7 days, in a mob of 700 wiener goats, we had 70 dead, so 10% killed in 10 days.
John Parker would lie awake at night worrying about his animals. The goat business became unsustainable. Years of hard work went down the drain. He says that the emotional strain was even worse than the financial losses.
The financial impact you really don't realise until the end of the year, but the mental impact is a really now-in-your-face thing that's very, very hard to handle. I think they were some of the worst periods of my life when we were under serious dog attack and not having the tools to stop such attack.
When wild dogs are attacking a grazier's livestock, normal day-to-day duties can get neglected. John Parker was so busy trying to get rid of the dogs, he'd sometimes put out up to 300 baits a day. The Parkers had the support of a local dog trapper, but when he was contracted out to other farms, John and his family had to deal with the dog attacks themselves. And sometimes that became too much.
In the day-to-day management areas where we'd run our wieners up on Nottingham and go up there in the morning to go round your wieners to see 6 or 8 or 10 that were ripped to bits, or find an old wether on the plateau that had had his kidneys torn out, his small intestines are trailing out through it. Hole in his side below the short ribs, and he's wandering round in a dazed and shocked state, trailing intestines behind him. It's absolutely horrible.
And what do you do when you're standing there looking at that, looking at all your hard work in front of you? Animals, I imagine, you become attached to. How do you react?
Yeah, they're a bit like family, I guess, or extended family. It's the most, it is really soul destroying, and one could be excused for taking to the drink, I think. Farmers probably are a bit insular. I guess we're a breed that are brought up to look after our own difficulties, so we confront those, probably lose a fair bit of sleep, and then gradually put it behind you and try and move forward. Well, we've just repaired this little dam down here, and we have a mob of ducks that live there, and I'm retired. A bit more gardening won't go astray.
It's so, just gorgeous out here, though.
Yeah,
these days, John Parker is retired and relaxed. He leases his land out for grazing. Wild dogs are still a problem in the area, but a management plan which relied heavily on the local dog trapper has been successful in controlling the population. John Parker says dog trappers are invaluable.
These great blokes that do the wonderful work of dog control can continue to work and sustain a reasonable living. They work under awful conditions, in awful weather, in rough and inhospitable country, and have amazing skills that are unrecognised. They don't have any letters after their name, but they've probably got skills way in excess of a lot of people with an enormous number of letters after their name, but just not recognised by politics and the public.